Brother, tell me, we'll get you one of these schedules right here. You don't have to read it by schedule, but you can. Read it however you want to, and it'll be a blessing to you. The Lord will bless you. Let's see. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that made him. Created him. Where's it at? What's it say? Pretty good, Jeremy. Now let's help him. Colossians 3:10.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Good. Again.
Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Great. One more time.
Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Amen. The Sunday School File.
I won't lie about the alleys where I've been. chasing rebels down. Rebels down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just too true. It's so true. Matter of fact, I think I better pray this morning. Lord, you're great. Lord, you're the great God and our Savior. Lord, thank you for chasing me down. I'm so no good, just like the song said. Lord, my story will get us nowhere. Lord, thank you for your story. Thank you for chasing me down. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let me try that verse again. I wasn't even concentrating a while ago. I was in neutral. Ever put your mind in neutral? Let me try it again. Let me see. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Right.
Get it?
Right.
Man.
Very good.
That's one thing in a row I got right. I like it. Every once in a while, a blind hog will find an acorn. Every once in a while. Where are we? What book are we in?
First Peter.
I think we delved over into chapter 2 last week. Yeah, we did. We were talking about precious. And I passed over something in verse 6, 1 Peter 2:6. I went over it too quick there. And I want to emphasize a little bit more this morning as we review. This is review. 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, precious, elect, precious. Now remind me who that is. It's a who. This stone is Jesus. Sometimes in the Bible, people's referred to as stones. This particular chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that believeth on him, anyone in here like that?
Yeah.
Shall not be confounded. And confounded, I looked up, if you remember, it means to blend. See, we're not going to, now that we've been redeemed, we're not going to be blended in with the world. We're not going to mix in with the world. I went over this too fast. We're not going to mingle in with the world because we're not going to be confounded. Not now that I've been delivered. See, I was about to lose my mind, but I got delivered. And now I'm not going to be confounded or double-minded so as not to distinguish between the two, us and the world. That's confounded. That's confounded. We're not going to do that because of our birth. We're separated because of our birth. It starts back in chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And then verse 19, it says what we are redeemed with. It's the precious blood of Christ. We're separated because of our birth. And then in verse 20, it says, who by him do believe in God? That's because of our birth. That's where we got birthed again. That's where we got born again, when we believed in God and received him. And then in verse 22, we got birthed. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. We're going to be separated now. We're not going to be confounded because of our birth. Because we've been born, like 1:23, being born again because of our birth, we're separated. And we're not confounded now. And then born again, not of corruptible seed, not of incorruptible, I'm sorry. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And verse 25 again, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, we've been born again. We're separated because of our birth. Now we desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. A little bit of review here. We're separated unto God because of our birth. That's not all. It's not all. It's because of our belief.
Yeah.
Starting in verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him. We're separated by our belief. We're separated by our birth. We're separated by our belief. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Anyone in here like that? He is precious. We're separated by our birth. We're separated by our belief. By our belief. But unto them which be disobedient. This is the way we used to be, like the song said. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Notice they didn't stumble at God. They didn't stumble at Jesus. They did, but that's not what it says here. It says them that stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, now it's different now. See, you're separated. You're separated by birth and you're separated by your belief. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You're peculiar because you're purchased. Everyone didn't want to be purchased. They didn't want a master. But you're peculiar because you're purchased.
Right.
You've been purchased. And you're glad the way God laid it out, that he's the everything. You're glad about it. See, everybody's not glad about it. They're not purchased. They're not peculiar. And here's why. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God,
right,
which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So you didn't even ask for it before. You didn't know to ask for it. You didn't know. You're separated by birth, and you're separated by belief, but that's not all. Today, that's for all review. Today, I want to look, hopefully we'll look at 11 on down, and we're separated now by behavior. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now we're going to be separated by our behavior. That other took effect. Verse 9, backing up just a little bit. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, now you're a nation. You're a nation. It's a secret nation. It's a spiritual nation. It's in the heavenlies. The principalities of this world fight against the nation. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand. Our nation is loyal to the throne of God. Now, this new nation that you're in, this secret nation, it's where Christ now sits. It's where our residence is. It's where our citizenship is. All believers are citizens of this nation, this secret nation. It's a spiritual nation. Its laws are ours. Its power is the power of God. Its people are regenerated, redeemed, sons of God. They used to be ruined. We came out of the ruined part, but the Lamb of God made us minister and ministers to us through angels. And ultimately, it's God's secret nation. It's a spiritual nation, and also it's a secured people, a secured nation. We're secure in Him. God had another heavenly people, but they messed up. They dropped the ball in the Old Testament. Now it's passed on to us, and we're heavenly born and heaven bound. And new avenues have been opened up to us now. We're made His children. We're heirs, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, Abba, Father.
Right.
Now, you'll understand this, but in the Greek, that means daddy. Not exactly. That was a joke. But never one time at home growing up did I ever call my earthly father, father. I always called him daddy.
Yeah.
It's an endearing term.
Yeah.
It's a special term. It's a personal term. That ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In God's dealing with the human race up to the cross, it was different. Until then, before the cross, if God had anything to say, He said it to a Jew. For 2,000 years, if God had anything to say, He said it in Hebrew. If a Gentile dog wanted to know God, he had to go to a Jew. The cross changed everything. Now God started talking in Greek to the Gentiles. Now, if a Hebrew wants to know God, he's going to have to come to a Gentile dog and he's going to explain it to him. It changed at the cross. Everything changed at the cross. This is why we praise him in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Think about that.
I Googled. I don't talk to Google. I typed it in. Every once in a while I ask something. And I was wondering, does the Bible still hold up in court? And I just asked Google because I knew y'all would believe that. It's a long answer, but if I got it right, Google said yes. Judges still use the Bible to help them make decisions. And it said, and Google said yes, the Bible is the foundation of our laws. And that being said, open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man to Colossians. Let's look at it here in chapter 1. I'm going to try to only read verse 12 and 13. I have trouble coming here without reading the whole chapter. But verse 12, it says, giving thanks. I'm talking about to redeem people now that are in the secret nation, and they're redeemed by birth and by belief, and now our behavior's changing. Now we're going to start praising God. It said, giving thanks unto the Father. I found out that's my biggest problem, is not being thankful. We'll try to be more thankful. I've done a little one step toward repentance. I bought some thank you cards, and I'm going to try to do better. I found out being unthankful is why I'm so proud. And I'm going to try to start being thankful. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a pretty good deal we got in on when we got delivered. Who hath delivered us? Have you been delivered from the power of darkness that hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son? When something's translated, when it's translated from Hebrew into English, that means now it's useful. See, it wasn't useful. A Hebrew Bible would be useless to me.
Right.
When it's translated from Greek into English, it becomes useful to me. Are you useful? Have you been translated? Am I useful? Have I been translated? It all changed at Calvary. Everything changed. Now we can get in. We can get adopted. It's the difference between day and night. We were darkness. We weren't in the dark. We were darkness. But now we're called light also. Have you been delivered? Have you been delivered? Yeah, amen. Exactly, amen. Yes. In the Old Testament, Israel had a priesthood. But now, you are a priesthood. They had one, but you are one. You is one. And we got all the privileges that a priest had. We can go straight in to the Holy of Holies, which really the high priest could only do once a year, and after a lot of special steps and everything had to go just right. But you can go in every morning, noon and night. You're a priest, and you can go straight. You are the priesthood. You have, and the main difference in the priest and everybody else is he had access to God. And see, now you have access. You can go straight in. It wasn't true in the Old Testament. It didn't happen like it. Everything's different on this side of the cross. Everything's better on this side of the cross. You're a believer priest. You're a sacrificer. You're a sacrificer. You can sacrifice your own living body. Say, I'm going to use this for God. You can sacrifice praise to God. Hebrews said that's a sacrifice. That I have to give something up to say praise God out of my mouth. It must be something like that or I would do it more often.
Right.
It must cost something or I'd do it more often. We can sacrifice substance. And we can sacrifice service. The Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. I find myself just going about.
Right.
How come he went about doing good and I just go about? It's that song. That song's killing me.
Yeah.
That's what happened. My story will get you nowhere. Yeah. My story and $5 get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I think that's about what it is.
Yeah.
See, we're believers. We're not stumblers now.
Right.
We're not stumblers. We're a chosen generation. We're born again. We're separated by birth, by a new birth. We've got a brand new mind. We have the mind of Christ. Did I tell you we have the mind of Christ? Let's open it up and see what he's thinking about this morning. We're a brand new creature, brand new man. Got a brand new spirit. Brand new spirit moved inside, Sister Sammy. Brand new. It makes that smile come on your face. Sometimes it squeezes your heart till it runs out your eyes. It's because you got a brand new spirit inside. That's what it was. Now we got a purpose. Brother Gene says he doesn't have a purpose. He does. He does more on accident than I do on purpose. Our purpose is to show forth the praises of him. That's what we just read. To tell the glorious message. We have a purpose. In the past, I had none. In the past, I didn't have a purpose. But we've got a purpose now.
Yeah.
We can tell the message. We can praise him. In the past, there was no mercy. In the past, I hadn't asked for mercy, but now we got mercy. We have obtained, past tense, E-D, mercy. We've obtained it, and I needed some this morning, and I got some. This world's not my home. My behavior's going to change, though, now. I'm not going to walk after the lust of the flesh. I'm going to obey the speed limit now. Run a little bit behind this morning. And I said, Kim, you want to drive? Well, about halfway here, the GPS started praying. We made it, though. We made it. It's my fault. Next week, I'm going to make a coffee on Saturday night. We will be early. We won't be late next week. I just stopped by on my way home. I can't stay here very long because I'm headed to God's throne. That's where I'm headed. The world's watching. They're watching for honesty. Juanita's watching. And they need a chance to be saved. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. A stranger is a man who's away from home. He stands out from others. You can spot him. He's in a world, but he's not in his world. He's in a different world. And his likings are different. His looks are different. I stood out over in Italy, just to tell you the truth. I'm a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. That's a stranger. He's away from home. A pilgrim, however, is going home. He's not just away from home, he's headed home. He has his eye on the goal, and all of his affections are engaged in going home. And going home, getting there. Lot never figured it out. He didn't know. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, Abraham was both a stranger and a pilgrim. The Holy Spirit takes up residence. And it's no wonder he's called a dove. He's just like that homing pigeon. And once he moves in, you're headed toward home. That eagle, his eyes magnetize, and he cannot lose his way home. He cannot. He's on the way home. We have a strong homing instinct once we get God in our heart. Or to abstain from fleshly lusts is what we read. Some books ought not to be read. I don't need to read everything.
Right.
And some programs ought not to be watched. I don't need to watch everything. And some company I don't need to hang around. There's some people ought not to be my best friend.
That's true.
I need to be friendly. I can be friends with them,
right,
but that's not who I'm going deer hunting with. That's not who I'm going trout fishing with and spend days with.
Right.
Saul was insanely jealous of David. He tried to kill him. He hunted him like you'd hunt a beast. He threw javelins at him. He put him in battle situations that seemed impossible. But God was on David's side. And if that wasn't bad enough, he had him marry one of his daughters, hoping that'd trip him up. And but David never retaliated. He never struck back, never complained, never spoke against Paul, never plotted against him, spared Saul's life on at least two different occasions. A man after God's own heart. That's the way Brother Rick needs to be right there. Verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors and as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. I've got the will of God underlined up in 13. I underlined submit yourselves, and I drew a line between them. That's where we started off. That's where we began. And so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, to submit to the Lord, to heaven's Lord, where my new nation is. Where my king is. If it's a republic, he's called a king. If it's or a president. Africa, it might be a chief. Where the chief is, the chief cornerstone. And the one Peter's talking about here, the one that's chief over the country right here is Nero. Nero was a monster. Terrible. And Peter said, we're supposed to submit. Still, I'm supposed to keep the speed limit. Still. Until my leaders cross the Bible. When they cross this, then I'm not responsible anymore to obey. But until then, I'm supposed to obey. The three Hebrews, they didn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, he didn't acknowledge the rule not to pray. He just went ahead and prayed. And even King Saul's men, they wouldn't kill the priest when the king told them to. We obey authority, our uppers, until they cross this. Verse 16. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I'm not to abuse my license, and I'm not to abuse it by laziness.
Right. That's good.
I'm to be a servant. I'm not free to do whatever I want. I'm free to obey. I'm free to do what he wants. That's right, Brother Caleb. I'm free to do what I ought to do. That's what I'm free to do. And 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It didn't say where. It doesn't matter if I'm in Babylon. That's where they did it. That's where they obeyed. And then I'm still supposed to honor the king. Even if it's Nero,
right.
Honor the king. Peter didn't use slurs in their title. Or Daniel didn't. He called him King Nebuchadnezzar or King Belshazzar or Darius. He used the proper titles. That's where Brother Rick messes up a lot. That's just one place. Hey, how about this right here? Let's see. I read 17. Stick with me here a little bit. Don't go to sleep. Starting in 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is trustworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, and ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. So it kind of looks like I'm called to suffer, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who's his, Brother Rick? Well, that's him who did no sin.
Right.
Anybody want to stand up and testify about that, how you've never done any sin? Yeah, I was afraid of that. Me neither. But this one does. There's only one that can do that.
Right.
There's only one. He who did no sin. It's a pretty good deal. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. But not Jesus. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. He never had a temper tantrum. Never was anxious. Sinless as a child. Sinless as a young man growing up in the carpenter shop without sin. Sinless in his imagination. Sinless in his desire. Sister Kim this morning studying for her Sunday school class trying to explain to him about adultery. And what she came up with is it's the wrong desire. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless in his desire. Sinless in his aspiration. Sinless in his word. Sinless in his deed. Sinless in the wilderness when tempted. sinless under the all-seeing eye of the Father. I do all things that please the Father. That's what he said. Immaculate, impeccable, holy, absolutely pleasing to God, who did no sin. Who did no sin. Total perfection. His walk and his talk matched. Not like Brother Rick. Not like the song. Not like the song. Without the slightest flaw, he did no sin. I didn't know that growing up. I grew up in church. I knew he was a prophet, a priest, a king, a good man. I did not know he was Jehovah God Almighty, come down from heaven, God with us, Emmanuel. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Buddha can't say it. Confucius, don't feel bad that you can't. Confucius can't say it. Mohammed can't say it either. They're all just men like in the Bible, like Abraham, Moses, Daniel, David, all sinners, just like us. None of them could say who did no sin. None of them. The amazing thing, it's not the miracles that he did that the modernists don't believe. That's not the amazing thing. The amazing thing, he didn't call fire down from heaven and call those 10,000 angels. That's the amazing thing, the miracle he didn't do. That's what's amazing. That's what's amazing. 12 legions of angels, let's see, that's 6,000 men, time, dot, carry or not. That's 72,000. He could have just, they were his beck and call, but he didn't. Reason he didn't is you and me. He could have saved himself, but he couldn't save himself and save us. We keep reading down through here. It's for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. He suffered and threatened not. He couldn't get a fair trial in the Hebrew court. He couldn't get a fair trial in the heathen court. But he did in a higher court. Really, it wasn't him on trial anyway. It was us. It was our leaders. It's who on trial anyway. And it's all going to come out one day. The Day of Atonement in the Old Testament is just a big cover-up. Take the people sinned and they kill, sacrifice an innocent lamb. The people sinned and the judgment fire fell on the innocent lamb. The people sinned and the fire fell on the innocent lamb, turtle, dove. But that was all just like whitewashing a fence. But on Calvary, it all got paid in full. Amen. It all got paid in full. Just like if I went to the bank to start a new business and they said, you don't have anything. You need some collateral or a rich friend like Brother Charlie. Now, Brother Charlie's got enough money to burn a wet mule. I mean, he's got money that hadn't even been spent yet. And he says, I'll tell you what, Brother Rick, I'll sign for you. And he signs and the bank gives me the money and I try to operate a business. I open up an office and got a desk there. And I say, come in and see my business. And at the end of the year, I've made nothing. I've made nothing. And they staple the old note to the new note. Brother Charlie says, I'll sign again. And he signs for that. And that happens another year or two. But then one day, they call the dogs, and Brother Charlie pays me out of debt. And that's what the Lord did on Calvary. That's what the Lord, he paid it in full. It's a done deal. He paid. My rich friend did that.
Yeah.
It's what happened. He died for us, and he died as us. He died for us, and he died to us. In Christ, in Christ. He died. He was buried. He rose again and we were with him. Back before there was refrigeration, I read that over in New Zealand they were going to ship a bunch of sheep. They had to ship them live back in the old days. And they were running them up the gangplank, loading them on a ship to be shipped overseas. And one of the workers there thought he'd do an experiment, and he slid a little board across the walkway there, and all sheep stopped. got to the board and stopped. And so he picked two or three up and set them over. And the others saw how to do that, and they started jumping. And they jumped the board, and they were going in just fine. And then he reached down and slid the plank out, and they kept jumping because the one in front of them jumped. Now, a while ago, I was bragging on us on the homing pigeon, but you know sheep's dumb. You know that. We're prone to stray. Sheep are not strong. Sheep are not swift, not fast. I hate to tell you all this, sheep are not smart.
Right.
And I am one.
Yeah.
If a sheep gets lost, he's lost. A dog or cat can find its way home. But a dumb sheep can't. We got to follow. We got to follow. We look at verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the big S shepherd and the capital B bishop of your soul.
Yes, amen.
I didn't read in between. Let me read in between just so we'll sew everything up here. Let's go back to 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him. Who's him? God. Committed himself to the Father that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Yes.
For ye were as sheep going astray. I'm talking about no hope. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul because of your birth and your belief and your behavior. That's what it is. I need to be above board. I need to be obedient. I need to work. I need to be that on the job concerning my suffering. And this is the Lord's example. When he suffered, he threatened not. What then did he do? He committed himself to the Father.
Yes.
He committed himself to him who judges righteously. And that's what Brother Rick needs to do. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name.